Las Vegas Sportsline. Presented by the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the world's largest race and sports book, and the Super Contest.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Presented by WagerTalk.com. Now, here's your hosts, Dave Kokin and Scott Spreitzer.
All right, here we go. It is the Tuesday edition of the Las Vegas Sports. Now, we've got a good show today because it's our, I guess you can call it our official college football kickoff edition. We're going to start to get into the football. It's not that far away. Exhibition season just a couple weeks away in the NFL and college football. The magazines have hit the stands, and it's time to start getting down and dirty with this stuff. And Paul Compton, the sports cruncher, will be with us later on. He's got some great stuff in college football. We'll concentrate on some of the Mountain West teams in some week one matchups against the spread. Today's show is brought to you by the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the Superbook Super Contest. Everybody's getting by. Are we going to get to 2,000 entries this year? Well, we'll find out. Jeff Sherman's going to be joining us. Scott Spreitzer's here. Bobby Machado's on the board. And I'm Dave Kokin. We are glad to have you with us. A couple of things right off the top. One, the price announced on the Mayweather-McGregor pay-per-view. It's $100 if you want it in high def. You save a whopping $10 and get it for $90 if you want it non-HD. I mean, if
nobody gets non HD anymore.
That price tag, holy cow! I mean, I'd be honest, I wasn't going to buy it if it was $20.
Right.
I don't care. But doesn't that? I guess they feel strongly enough that it's going to be such an attraction that they can get away with charging that amount. But that's a lot of money.
Yeah, they're going to get away with it. There's going to be a lot of folks who buy it. I've done plenty of radio shows around the country, both regional, local, and national. Since it was announced that this fight was actually going to take place, since the odds came out on it, and there is such an interest, it's crazy. And it's even people who say, you know, McGregor's got no chance in a boxing match against Floyd Mayweather, but I'm still going to watch. I mean, I get that every show I do, and it's a situation for me where, well, they had to make it $99 because he's got to pay off the IRS
right.
in a few months. So a lot of folks who are going to buy the pay-per-view are going to be helping that out, helping him out along there with the IRS a little bit. But it's something I could not do. What they charge, was that the same? Or was it $89 for HD when it came to Pacquiao and Mayweather?
I think it might have. It was in that ballpark.
Around $89.
Yeah.
And the thing is even though that was a couple of years late, that's exactly what I was going to say. You hit it on the head. It was a legit fight, even though it was a couple years past due. You can make that argument, obviously. But this isn't a legit fight, and it's a situation where people are buying into the hype right. and the circus, and it just drives me nuts.
Now, I'm going to say one thing, and this is going to irritate some people, but I don't care. It's my job to piss people off, and I'm going to do it right now. If you are one of those people who's complaining about athlete salaries, particularly in the NBA with guys, you know, Hardaway getting $71 million for 4 years, you can't buy this fight.
Yep.
If you do, then you have to stop complaining about players' salaries because you are feeding into it. If you're willing to pay an absolutely exorbitant fee to see one lousy fight, and I do mean lousy fight, then stop complaining about players' salaries because you're part of the problem.
And that's a situation for me. I don't have any problem. You know what? Go out and get what the market says they'll pay you.
Yep.
I've got no problem with an athlete making
Same
a
here. Fun.
I don't care if he makes $1 billion a night. But the bottom line is when it's something like this, like you just said, you cannot have your cake and eat it too in this particular situation. And for me, I wouldn't purchase it. I won't purchase it. I'm going to enjoy the heck out of the craziness on the strip for the week leading up to it.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be a
Great
blast.
Great for Las Vegas.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. We're going to talk about the fight leading up to it. That's going to be a blast. People want to talk. But when it comes to a $99 pay-per-view from one of the best all-time boxers in the world against a guy who's never stopped in a ring before for a professional match, I'm out.
All right. Something that, I don't know, some people say not good for Las Vegas. I'm a little ambivalent on it because I think we've got two major league sports teams coming now. I don't think we can take on a third that quickly anyway. Rob Manfred talking about potential expansion in Major League Baseball yesterday and mentioned three locales as possible targets, either for relocation or expansion. Charlotte, Montreal, Mexico City. I don't think Mexico City's viable, quite frankly, and I think he said that as more of a PR thing than
sure.
anything else. I do think the other two markets are very viable. I think Charlotte has proven itself to be a phenomenal Major League sports area. It's just a It's a boom town down there, and there's a ton of people. And we've seen how well Charlotte has done on other sports. And Montreal deserves to get a team back. And I'm not hurt My feelings are not hurt that Las Vegas wasn't mentioned.
Las Vegas isn't ready for Major League Baseball, in my opinion, and it is ready for NBA, NHL, even NFL because of the short amount of home games that they have to fill up that NFL stadium. But also, it's a situation where when you're talking about 81 home games and you need about 25 to 28,000 on average per night in those 81 games, I just don't think we're ready yet. And as far as the NHL...
Well, the reality is we can't build another stadium at the same time we're building a football
absolutely.
Stadium.
Absolutely. And the NHL or the NBA, I'm going to tell you right now, if you come here, which the the Golden Knights obviously are, you better be a winning product by year three. And
I would agree with that.
And that's the situation, I think, with Major League Baseball is that, first of all, 28,000 a night is not going to happen right now on an 81-game schedule. And can you, with a lack of major attendance, be able to build a product good enough to be able to go out there and win, 85, 90 games a season to keep people interested? It's the weather, everything about it, we're just not ready yet for baseball, in my personal opinion. We are ready to give NBA and NHL a try and the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. You mentioned Mexico City. I think that was done also because I think Major League Baseball has an office in Mexico City, and they do play exhibition games there. I think Charlotte should be number one, the first team that gets a chance.
I would agree with that.
And maybe second Montreal. But what do you tell people when they say Montreal couldn't support a team?
But they did support the team.
The last 8, 9 years, but, 6 years, whatever it was, after the crap that happened when they were in first place and they had a lockout.
And Jeffrey Loria, conceivably the worst owner in the history of sports, in any sport, completely screwed the fans in Montreal. He lied to them, and then he's done the same thing in Miami. Bud Selig's biggest mistake, of all the things he did, and making the All-Star game count was the silliest, but the worst was letting Loria get another franchise in Miami, and he did the same damn thing down there. He's basically sabotaged the team to the point where I don't know if they survived down there.
Sure.
I really don't know if they survived.
But they got to get some stadium situations taken care of in Tampa? What else? Oh, Oakland. Before you can go ahead and expand. And I think he did say that they're going to have to take care of those two situations before they can't expand anyways.
I think they should leave Tampa alone and just leave. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
That's my
opinion.
I think Oakland
should stay at the new stadium.
I think Oakland will do extremely well with a new stadium. Yep. And I'm rooting for Oakland to get that new stadium. I want the A's to stay there. Let's go to last night's action, and we'll check out first our star of the night.
Star of the Night is brought to you by Fletcher Jones Imports, winner of the Mercedes-Benz Best of the Best Dealer Recognition Award, where you're not just a Mercedes-Benz driver, you're a part of our family.
A swing and a fly ball center field. There it is. Aaron Judge. All rise. That's your champ. He is sensational.
Well, he's in New York, and therefore, I'm going to say that he is now the new face of baseball. Trout's the best player in the game, but Trout's in Anaheim, and most of the country doesn't see him maybe once a week, if that. Aaron Judge is in. He's in the hub. Well, sure. I don't know, Boston's the hub, but you know what I mean. And he's everything that's right about the game right now. Personable young guy, and just incredible to watch.
He's in the right place. Hopefully he keeps... And here's what I like about Aaron Judge. He's 25.
Yeah.
He's mature. Talking about Strawberry, when Gooden, when they were in New York with the Mets, and you're the king of New York and you're 19 years old, it's a little tough to stay on the straight and narrow.
It is.
I get it. I might have been worse than Straw and Gooden if I was in their situation. But when it comes to Aaron Judge, he's at that age where he's 25. He's obviously extremely mature. And you can't take your... what's that old saying? Because they couldn't take their eyes off the pinstripes. And that's the situation with Major League Baseball fans. You want to know what the Yankees are doing every day, like them or hate them. That's what they're all about. You want to follow the New York Yankees to either hate, to despise, or to like. And I think Aaron Judge, because of that, is in the right place at the right time. But how about 4 miles of home runs?
Unbelievable.
Hit last night by Aaron Judge.
That was a lot of fun. He almost broke the stadium on one. So did Stanton, by the way. Stanton lost his first round, but he hit a couple of
unbelievable shots. How about 22 home runs, and because of the brackets, you get knocked out?
Yep.
That's why I wish they'd get rid of the brackets.
Tough
because
break.
Boy, I'm telling, for instance, Sano, he hits 11 home runs and he's moving on. I'm like, oh my gosh. And you got a guy, he just did 22 home runs and he's already going home. I'd like to see him get rid of the brackets. Just top 4 guys of the 8 advance, let them have it out. You don't want a guy struggling to get to 10 home runs in the finals.
Nevertheless, it was a lot of fun, very exciting event. So was our Earhart Industries, your defense innovation specialist, shot of the night winner. If you missed this match yesterday, you missed a beauty.
Unbeatable prices. Earhart Industries specializes in tactical firearms. Visit the King Assassin showroom today and see some of our newest weapons on the market. CCW classes are in session and all summer long. Take 10% off any King Assassin firearm. Earhart Industries is located at 3871 South Valley View Boulevard, number 4 in Las Vegas. Visit us online at kingassassin.com. Earhart Industries is home of the King Assassin firearms brand.
It's that time. Take your best shot.
Shoot it, fat boy!
Dull, yet again, staring at defeat. Serves down towards the forehand of Muller. Forehand from Nadal. Muller's got a chance to attack. He goes to the backhand of Nadal. Short again. Muller on the forehand cross court. There's Nadal picking it up. It's long! And Gilles Muller has pulled off a remarkable upset here on court number one. The world number two, Rafael Nadal, is sent packing. It is the biggest win in the career of the 34-year-old from Luxembourg, who takes out the two-time former champion. Gilles Muller comes through an absolute epic. He wins 15-13 in the fifth set.
Well, what a match this was. I mean, I'm a very casual tennis fan. The only time I ever watch is the big tournaments, the majors, and I wait until they get fairly late. This was a round of 16 match. This was phenomenal. A five-set marathon went almost 5 hours, and Gilles Muller gets the biggest win of his career. He knocks off Rafa Nadal, and it was a sensational, absolutely sensational match. There's been some good matches in Wimbledon, and I hope it continues as the tournament winds down. They're in the quarterfinals now, and it's getting pretty exciting.
You got to throw something at you. Muller's not chump change. He was the 16 seed, but he should have lost to Nadal, except for this phenomenal effort that he was able to muster yesterday and get the win. So after this nearly 5 hour match, the question is to you, Dave Kokin. Even though you are a casual tennis fan, I got to ask you, with Cilic's seven seed being his opponent tomorrow. He's gone from a $4 favorite to a $4.60 favorite.
I agree with the move. And Cilic, and again, I don't know anything about this stuff, but the experts, I'm paying attention to the commentary, and they know this stuff. They are saying that Cilic is playing the best tennis of his life.
And not only that, but you've got a guy just off of a five-hour dream scenario, his best win of all time, and he's 30-something years old now having to do it again. And I'm thinking, boy, I think probably everybody has that mindset right now. But I have heard from the couple of sharp guys that I know when it comes to tennis saying they're all in with Cilic. They're going to look to pound it and make some money, even though it's minus 460.
Well, sometimes you got to do that. And in tennis, there aren't, it's tough to pull off two big upsets in a row in any sport, and it seems to be really tough in tennis. It's time to go to our Fleming's Town Square Magnum guest line.
Hi, this is Jay Solomini from Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar in Town Square. Summer is here, so come join us for our Summer of Love three-course dinner. Begin with Campari tomato bruschetta, made with our house-made burrata, blistered tomatoes, crostini, and balsamic glaze. For the main course, our 12-ounce filet mignon, our most tender cut of beef, with your choice of toppings. Choose from colossal crab and shrimp with a chili butter sauce, or choose the shiitake and beach mushrooms in garlic butter sauce, or go with the crispy leeks with our house-made blackberry pepper glaze. And to finish up, choose any one of our signature desserts. Beginning at $59.95, now through August 31st at Fleming's in Town Square.
All right, and we'll get to Jeff Sherman from the Westgate Las Vegas momentarily. We're hooking up with him right now. This is an exciting time for the sportsbooks in town, particularly the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the Superbook, because the Super Contest, where I'm seeing tweets out there for those who offer proxy services.
Yep.
You can tell it's getting close. And I just saw the announcement about the golf tournament.
Sure.
People want to get into that with a chance to win an entry into the Super Contest.
And, by the way, I saw an article today. It's on Covers. Patrick Everson in studio with us tomorrow can talk a little bit more about it, but they were actually talking about the biggest proxy service when it comes to the Westgate.
Yes.
Very interesting read. I mean, I think people would be surprised.
I haven't read it yet, but I know Vegas Matty, great guy.
About how many people are, some of these proxies are handling. It's pretty impressive.
All right, and Jeff Sherman's joining us right now. Follow him on Twitter, at Golf Odds. Jeff, let's first touch on Home Run Derby. How was the result for the house, and what was the volume like?
It actually ended up working out really well for us. We had Aaron Judge 9-5, second choice behind Stanton at 7-4. And so those two, just being short odds, they got support, but it was a lot of small tickets, nothing big. Cody Bellinger received a lot of support. We opened him at 10-1, closed him at 7, and Miguel Sano also opened at 12-1. He closed at 8. So those two commanded most of the support, so it was a good result. And the handle was surprisingly well. It definitely picked up from last year. And we had an opportunity with the first-round matchups to take parlays on those. So that ended up enhancing the handle, too.
Mm. So you're going to want to keep the brackets in place. I mean, as a fan, I just want to see the top four guys move on. But from your perspective behind the counter, this bracket situation kind of helps you, huh?
Yeah, it did. It was a great response to it, and people saw their way through it that way. And if they did this going forward, it was very well received.
I'm kind of a bracket fan myself. I just like the way it works out. Head-to-head matchups, they're a lot of fun. Now, the All-Star game probably won't get nearly as much volume. I don't think it's good. I wonder if it'll get the same viewership that the Home Run Derby did last night. Apparently, it got great ratings. I don't think as many people... they ought to get rid of it or just change the format, because I got to tell you, Jeff, the All-Star game is anticlimactic at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, especially with no meaning this year.
Right.
Not going towards a team for home field advantage, we ended up not doing any propositions on it. It's almost like the the Pro Bowl or the NHL All-Star game, where we don't do propositions on those either. But with no meaning, we've heard that the managers are going to try to use every player involved on the team. So we just stayed away from the propositions and have the standard of the game, the first five innings, runs scored in the first inning proposition. But we will have in-progress wagering for it tonight.
All right. Updated World Series odds are out. Fill us in on what's happening at the top of the charts.
Well, the Dodgers are a pretty clear choice right now at 3-1. And behind them, we have the Astros at 9-2, the Red Sox at 5, the Nationals 6, and the Indians at 7. And the Cubs have drifted all the way out to 12-1.
Wow.
with their poor first half of the season. So the Dodgers are on an incredible run right now, both at home and overall lately, and they're definitely a warranted 3-1 choice.
Jeff, second best team to me in the National League is Arizona, ever so slightly ahead of Washington, you know, thanks to the Nationals' horrible bullpen situation. But, you know, the D-backs didn't finish the first half well. Their run scoring dropped off a little bit. But for the most part, they've been outstanding on the offensive side of things. And they've had a good season all year long until the final week or so at the plate. But, you know, they are top five in most key pitching categories, including the top five bullpen ERA. Likely have to come through the wild card slot because of the Dodgers. But your thoughts on Arizona and also Cleveland as choices outside of the Dodgers and Astros?
Well, from our perspective, you know, Arizona hasn't commanded as much betting support. We did have them lower, but they've drifted out now to 18-1. So they're really not in the conversation of those single-digit teams as far as the betting support goes. And just like you had mentioned, with the Dodgers looking like they're going to head off that division, then you're going to have a tougher path for Arizona that way. As far as Cleveland, fully expect Cleveland to still win that division, and they've got too much talent not to be heard from when it goes deep into the playoffs, especially after what we saw last year, and then adding some components to their team.
Jeff Sherman's with us. You can follow him on Twitter at GolfOdds. Check out his website, GolfOdds.com. We'll get to the golf shortly, but first let's touch on the NBA Summer League action, which has been pretty good. I think the crowds have been nice. How's the betting action been, and some thoughts on what you've seen so far?
Yeah, it's been real solid. You know, this is the first year that we offered odds to win the championship game, which we had up for about a week before the first game tipped off last Friday. And so that was nice to see the response we received there. And then as far as the games go, by far and away the Lakers games have received the most attention, both in the stands and at the betting window, and even on TV as much as they've been talked about. But overall, you know, every game has been carried on TV. ESPN is really involved with it this year, and it's really enhanced it, where it's a staple on the betting menu now. You see most books have it up. We're even offering first and second half wagering on these games. So it's really nice to have, especially during the All-Star break this time of year. It's definitely a staple on the betting menu.
Got to ask you how you guys did on the Lakers-Kings game with that line moving 5 points after it was announced that Lonzo Ball was not going to be playing in that game, and then the Lakers end up winning anyway. How'd you guys do behind the counter? I know the limits are minimal, but at the same time, I'm thinking if anybody was plucking down money, it would have been on the Kings yesterday in that big adjustment.
Well, we actually found out about 10 minutes before everyone else that Ball and Kuzma were not going to be playing. So we adjusted rather quickly, and we went all the way to Sacramento -4 when there were still pick'ems out there. So we pretty much induced some Lakers support on that. and we ended up having the right idea. The result just didn't work out for us.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, but, you know, it's the idea is it wasn't money that moved the line. That was an adjustment. Sometimes that people don't understand that. They see, the money's pouring in on one side. Not always the case. All right, let's get some updated British Open odds. That's next week, of course. We've got two tournaments to look at this week, and we'll do that in a moment with Jeff Sherman. But what's happening as far as the main event, the championship, is concerned for next week?
Yeah, I'll have to go over that now since I won't be here next week.
That's
I'll
right.
be up in Canada. So as far as next week right now, there's no golfer in single digits right now.
Wow.
The favorite, Dustin Johnson's a 10-1. Second choice is Spieth at 12, and John Rahm coming off his impressive win in the Irish Open. He's also a 12-1. I've drifted Rory McIlroy out to 15-1. He hasn't seen too much betting support, and he's coming off a missed cut last week in the Irish Open. So it's called the Open Championship, and it's really looking like a wide-open event.
John Deere, Scottish Open this week, Jeff, and I got a couple of guys I'm going to throw at you here and get your thoughts on them. You know, with driving distance not being, a big deal in this particular course, with guys who can birdie a lot, guys you want to look at as far as who's going to win this tournament, a couple of golfers I looked at were Stricker at 25-1 at golfodds.com at last check, and also Kevin Streelman. Any thoughts on those two? Who do you like this week in the Scottish Open?
Well, Stricker loves playing here. He's got a phenomenal history here, and I would expect to see him continue that. He's even been playing well in his recent form. But he won this tournament 3 years in a row at one point, back starting in 2009. So he's so familiar with this. And I don't know if winning is still in his cards, but really competing up near the top, I could see him really giving it a go this week. And Streelman's been playing fabulous lately. I agree with you on that one. He's been pretty consistent, and he's definitely a guy. He's at 30-1, and those are the type of prices I like to look for. So I'm right there with you on those two.
Anybody else catch your eye as far as a longer shot in that 30-1 neighborhood's concerned?
The only one I could maybe see is I put these two guys in a matchup, and Bud Cauley at 40 and Ben Martin at 50. Those two, the young guys, we've seen young guys win this tournament in the past, and I think those two, they're really rounding into form. And they could really give it a run, especially, like you had mentioned, with the type of ball striker you need on this course. And this is going to lead right into next week in the Open. It's going to be the same type of philosophy when we get over there. It's flat and narrow fairways, and driving distance is not going to be an advantage next week. It's going to be about driving accuracy and shots into the green. So if someone like Sergio, even next week, we could see a second major possibly in his cards, but you can transfer the type of course this week into next week as far as what you're looking for.
Yeah, Bud Cauley looks like a guy who's about to break through. He had some injury issues, which he seems to be over now, and he's having a good year, and I think he's poised to maybe get a win. This could be the spot. What about the Scottish Open? Anything interesting there?
Well, it's got a better field than we do over in Illinois. So Ricky Fowler's the 8-1 favorite. McIlroy 10-1. We have Stenson, Alex Noren, and Adam Scott at 15-1. A really deep field. Now, there's one spot remaining for next week's Open from the John Deere and three spots from the Scottish Open. So some of these guys that are on the outside looking in, you can really see them starting to push up and possibly try to earn a berth. But it's such a deep field over in the Scottish Open. Ricky Fowler's played fabulously in Lynx course the past few years, so he's a warranted favorite. But somebody like Bernd Wiesberger, Ross Fisher, Andy Sullivan, they're in the 25-40-1 range. And that's the range I look for, that these guys have been playing well, and I could see them up on the leaderboard on Sunday.
All right, Jeff, super contest time. It's starting to get revved up. Saw Jay tweeting about the golf tournament and all kinds of excitement with events surrounding the football contest itself. And it's not that far away now. So are we going to get 2,000 this year?
Right now we're at 155, and last year at this time was 104.
Wow.
So we're nicely ahead of pace, and we have three entrants in the super contest gold, and this is our first year doing that. So a lot of momentum going forward with this. People signing up early right now, and it's on a nice pace, so we're really hoping we can push that 2,000 plateau.
And, of course, while you're there signing up, if you're a local, make sure and get your online account set up, because you can't play the contest there, but you can play everything else.
Absolutely, and everything that we have on our betting menu is available. We recently put up propositions for every NFL team. Will they make the playoffs, yes or no, things like that. So you can peruse through our app without having an account, and if you like what you see, come on down. It takes about 10 minutes. Sign up for the app, and you're good to go.
All right, Jeff. Enjoy Canada, big guy.
Thanks. Metallica time.
There you go.
You're going to have several
What city, Jeff?
What's that?
What city?
It's Toronto and Montreal.
Oh,
in both cities.
I'm jealous. Can I carry your bags? Metallica, those cities? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I've never been to Toronto. Really looking forward to that. This will be my second visit to Montreal, so I get to try out a little bit of the French that I know up there.
Yeah, awesome. There you go, and have several beer while you're there, eh? All right.
Absolutely, some Labatt's will be going.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. Yeah, stay away from the Molson. Labatt's is much better. Okay, thanks, Jeff. Have a good trip. Okay. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, thanks, guys.
And Johnny Murray will join us next week in Jeff's place, so we'll still have great information coming to you from the Westgate Las Vegas. When we come back, we'll check out Twitter, and then it's time to talk college football with Paul Compton. That's coming up.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
All right, we continue on the Tuesday edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. Happy to have you with us. It's brought to you today by the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the Superbook. Thanks to Jeff Sherman. Well, you can follow at Golf Odds for joining us. Jeff does a great job, and he'll be back in a couple of weeks as he vacations in Toronto next week, and we'll have Johnny Murray from the Westgate coming on. Paul Compton's going to join us in a moment. First, we'll check out what's happening on Twitter.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
And make a reservation if you're going in the evening. You'll need one at Joe's. It's always busy. 702-792-9222. Follow them at Joe's Vegas. And by the way, Joe's open for lunch daily at 11:30. This was Monday's tweet of the day, as far as I'm concerned. It came from Royals reliever Kelvin Herrera. And it's great to see somebody with a sense of humor. He tweeted, and you can follow him at Kelvin Herrera 40. He's got a picture of himself taking an awful swing at a pitch in one of his rare hitting appearances. He's a relief pitcher in the American League, so he rarely gets in at bat. And his tweet was, "Still wondering why I didn't get invited to this event." Speaking of the Home Run Derby. you got to like that. That was really funny. Good stuff from Kelvin Herrera, who might be getting a few at-bats here and there, because I think he might end up in the National League soon.
Yeah, I think so. I wanted to give a quick plug about tomorrow's show, and because I'm looking at his stuff right now, but at Bernie Fratto, he's going to lead off tomorrow's show with us, talking a little bit about what he's been reporting on in the Summer League, NBA Summer League, for some places back east. And in fact, he sent me yesterday the fact that Lonzo Ball was not going to play last night. And for some odd reason, I don't do this, I had my phone off, and he sent it to me as we were starting the show. But he's got some real interesting takes on Lonzo Ball, and talking about a little bit about some of what other people are saying right now that maybe don't like Lonzo Ball's game.
They just don't. And
Bernie's going to talk about why he disagrees with that. So we're going to have him on top of the show tomorrow. Right. But you can follow him at Bernie Fratto. Great stuff from the Summer League that he's putting out every single day.
And you can follow Paul Compton at Sports Cruncher on Twitter. And I recommend you do so, because I'll stack his models up against anybody's when it comes to college football. Does a great job. NFL as well. Paul's joining us right now on the Fleming's Town Square guest line. Magnum guest line, I should point out. What's going on, Paul? It's that time of year. College football just around the corner.
Hey, Dave. Good to talk to you again. Glad to be on the air with not just one, but two Las Vegas legends today. Very cool.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you with us. And I'm telling you what, I'm not blowing smoke. I mean, the last few years, your stuff has been just spot on. Give us a little bit of a, obviously you can't say everything. It's too detailed. but just maybe a synopsis of how you come up with numbers and what your clients receive every week.
Yeah, I started handicapping right around the turn of the century. I'd say I dabbled a little bit before that, but right around the turn of the century, I got into using Microsoft Excel with, box scores and different stats to try to automate a lot of the processes of what I was doing, which was, in a nutshell, compensated stats, with some other... It's a pretty common technique with some top handicappers, but it just seemed logical to me, so I kind of figured it out on my own and built my model by myself without really any help from any outside source. And just over the years, I started in NFL, I tweaked it for years and years and years. I mostly posted free online for many years, saying, look, I can beat the closing line. I can beat the closing line game after game after game after game. And eventually I'm like, okay, I can't just give this away anymore. It has value. So after many years, I started offering I offer service now. And with my service, you get my lines and totals for every game. That's what I give out, plus recommended plays. And packages start at a pretty affordable rate.
And, of course, you can find out that information at Sports Cruncher on Twitter, correct?
Right, and at thesportscruncher.com online.
Awesome. I'm going to ask you a little bit about just, like, let's get an example of how you handicap a game. And I got a chance to look briefly at what you do, and I'm impressed. I can't wait to really jump into it tonight. When I'm sitting at home, I'm going to jump into all the work you do. It's very impressive, Paul. One of the things I noticed, and I've got, like, I was telling Kokin yesterday, I've got like 14 potential first week plays, which is driving me nuts right now. I usually don't have that many coming out of the blocks. I'm going to narrow that down a bit. I've got three plays I made. One of those plays that I made, you happen to agree with as far as your power ratings are concerned. It's the Arkansas State-Nebraska game. We both have power rated this one a few points below the actual number, obviously well below what it originally opened. Nebraska currently a 17-point favorite. Give us an example of your analysis on this particular game, and also being kind of a numbers, or like I like to call it, a modern era, newfangled handicapper. When you see things like Nebraska switching to a 34 defense, do they have the personnel to cover this as of yet? Does that matter that much to you? Give us an example of your handicap into this particular game.
Okay. I mean, as far as any, you know, big changes like that with coordinators and systems, I'll try to go through and read previews for every team. And if the general vibe of what I'm reading is that it's going to, you know, take some time to adapt, I'll put in manual either bonuses or deductions to a team's projections for their running and passing games, offensively and defensively. And I'll also adjust those every year just based on, you know, recruiting numbers and player attrition, you know, who they've lost, et cetera. So you really kind of have to look at all those different things to figure out how much you're going to adjust your projections for, you know, coming into the year. But then as far as the actual point spread itself, I start, the main base is the, I look at the run and pass matchups for the two teams. And there's a lot of little modifications and tweaks I think to do to kind of estimate how those matchups are going to go, you know. And then as far as, like, when a team, you know, you've got your Power 5 conferences, and then your G5, Group of 5 conferences, and they'll play, you know, a couple games against each other every year, but it's almost like two separate leagues in a sense.
It is.
So I found that was one of the harder things to adjust to versus, like, just coming from the NFL. It's, you know, they all play each other. It's not an issue. But with the P5 and the G5, I kind of had to go in and make further adjustments to where I'll modify the point spread based on strength of schedule numbers and then those recruiting numbers as well. So in this particular game, the straight-up point spread, I mean, just based on the run and pass matchups, I only make Nebraska about a 7-point favorite. But when you add in the strength of schedule and recruiting numbers, because Nebraska they've been recruiting fairly well under Mike Riley.
Sure.
Hasn't necessarily showed up on the field yet. But they've been recruiting pretty well. So when you factor that into that, it doubles the point spread almost to me. You know, it puts it right around 13.5 up in there.
But that's still value on the underdog.
Sure. And, you know, that number opened, I remember early in the season.
Well, that was a big number.
Not the season yet, but when the numbers really, really first opened, it was around 20.
Yeah, it's down to 17. And that's, you know, like, for instance, I still like Arkansas State. That was one of my plays, but I got it when it was just a touch higher. But you could have had as much as 20 if you had that ability to jump on that, actually, the original opening line. But it has come down a little bit. Just real quickly, your thoughts here, you know, an off the wall, and by off the wall, I mean just something that's kind of under the radar, a college football team total that you like. I know you love USC as one of your top plays. You got them at 9.5. You like the over there, but give us kind of an off the wall team totals play that you have so far for the season coming up. Somebody that maybe not everybody, a general college football fan, is going to recognize as being a lead play for a lot of guys as far as win totals.
Sure. I found, especially last year, that I had the best results on betting the group of five schools and their win totals. You know, they're smaller schools, conferences, et cetera, and they don't, you know, maybe just the line makers don't work as hard on those schools because they don't get as much action on those schools. So I found the lines to be a lot more favorable for betting. This year, a team I like is just it's if you follow football at all, though, it's almost kind of obvious. It's one of the most consistent teams out there, which is Appalachian State.
Yeah,
in the Sun Belt. I mean, ever since it's about 2.5 seasons ago, they they flipped a switch mid-season and have just been so good and consistent since then. You know, they were great against the spread for quite a while. Eventually, the spreads caught up to them, and you know, so they weren't so great against the spread last year as they were the year prior. But they're still going to win so many games. They have a pretty soft schedule. You know, they're going to open with a loss at Georgia. Odds are. Then they get Texas State, which is one of the weakest teams out there from last year, if not the worst. They have a game against Wake Forest, which is going to be more of a toss-up. But after that, I have them as double digits or better favorites against everyone else. And the line on them is only 9 wins. Mm. The juice is on that 9, on the over, fairly heavily. But, man, I just don't see how they're going to have 4 losses unless, you know, something really goes wrong. You know, Taylor Lamb, their QB, is a senior. They're returning a lot of, receivers. They've always had a good stable of running backs. Offensive line is pretty good. The defense is still going to be solid. So, given their past performances, you know, unless they get majorly bit by injuries, I don't see how they don't cruise through the Sun Belt this year. Well, if they don't face Troy, which would be the one team that would challenge them. Yep.
Paul yep. Compton's our guest. And, Paul, before we let you go, let's once again remind people that they can get projections on every week one game. They're already up. And over and under win projections on each team, those are up as well in the preseason annual, and let people know how they can get it.
Yeah, if you go to thesportscrunchy.com and there's just a subscribe to the website button. I send out a newsletter many weeks during the season with, you know, some analysis and free picks. But you'll also receive automatically an email of my preseason guide that has the projections for all the teams this year, and plus my rankings and ratings for the stats from last year. And it's free. And I've also got recommendations for quite a few more regular season win plays posted on my website as well.
Yeah, it's real easy to navigate through that stuff and get the information. Check it out and follow Paul on Twitter at SportsCruncher. Thanks, Paul. We'll talk to you again before the start of the season. And I think we lost Paul.
Yeah, all right. At the perfect time.
Yes. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll get to our Wager Talk marquee matchup of the night. I wonder what that might be.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk marquee matchup of the night with Scott Spritzer. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
All right, now I know Tuesdays are usually a day where there's a big discount available at WagerTalk.com, and there's just unfortunately not a lot to put up today. We've got one game. It's the All-Star game.
We do have something up, though, now. I talked about it yesterday.
Okay.
The CFL, $145, $149. See? The package is up now. 86-55 is our monitored record over the last several years of the CFL, 61%. We were undefeated the last 2 weeks. It's up. You get the rest of the season for less than $150. And here's the cool part of that. You can apply that $145 to $149. You can apply that to college football season-long package or NFL season-long package. So you're discounting one of those two packages. Plus, you're getting the entire CFL throughout the rest of the season, which is 15 more weeks plus playoffs. So there's a lot out there right now that you can get for that CFL package when you sign up. It'll be applied to either college football or the NFL if that's what you would like.
And by the way, play of the day, I'm going to give a CFL game out.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because there's not a lot to give out, but we'll get to that in a second.
I can't wait.
Marquee matchup
is
got to be the All-Star game. And
yep.
I'm not betting the game at all.
Neither am I.
If I had to make a bet, I would take the under. There's going to be 18,000 pitchers tonight. They're all going to get used, and that's an advantage to the pitchers. And the game has historically gone under more than over.
The last decade, 6.5 runs per game is about what it's averaged. 7-2 to the end of the last 9 years. I think Ashton Grewal wrote an article about this. It covers, by the way. And I'll tell you what. If you want to bet an MVP, you know, you don't look to a pitcher. They've won it twice in 30 years.
They only pitched an inning.
Absolutely. And so you've got Judge, Correa. Those might be good names to back as far as the MVP. The American League has dominated the MVP betting, just as they have the winning of the All-Star game of late. But I'm not going to bet the game. I do think that if you got to get involved, maybe play the under. It's just like yesterday with the Home Run Derby. Fun, money only.
Yes, yeah. Beer money. That's it. And again, go to wagertalk.com and find out all that free information that's there. It's going to put money in your pocket. Let's go to our Mastriani's Play of the Day.
The day brought to you by Mastriani's.
All I do is win, no matter what.
All right, Mastriani's Play of the Day brought to you, curiously enough, by Mastriani's. They're located at 3330 South Hualapai at the corner of Hualapai and Desert Inn. Phone number to make reservations, which you should make in the evening, 702-367-7511. And go to Mastriani's.com to check out more information on a great restaurant that you'll find in Summerlin. Ottawa is off to a rather shaky start. They're a disappointing team so far. I bet against them last week in the CFL, and Toronto comes back in the second half and gets the outright win. You know, it's only week three, Scott. I find must wins in week three to be more reliable than later in the season when everybody's paying attention to it. Ottawa needs this game. And they could be catching Edmonton a little fat and happy because the Eskimos are 2-0 so far. I think you take the points with Ottawa in this game. I think it should be a pretty good battle. And I wouldn't be shocked if Ottawa goes on the road and wins. Look,
and I see sixes out there.
Yeah,
so
and by the way, the dogs have been money so far in the CFL. So I'm going to go that way. You can mark that down for me. Ottawa plus the points, plus six. On Ottawa, we'll make that the play of the day. That game's later in the week, of course, but we got to give you something later in the week because there's nothing else tonight. That's going to do it for this edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. A reminder that we'll be back on tomorrow, and tomorrow's show brought to you by CG Technology, and a great guest lineup as well, because we'll have Bernie Fratto on talking NBA Summer League. We'll have probably Matt Holt or Jason Simmel. It'll probably be Matt Holt tomorrow from CG Technology. Patrick Evans from Covers.com. Plus, Scott will be here. I'll be here. It's going to be a fun show. Later in the week, we get Preston Johnson coming on to talk college football. His annual is out for the season. Tony Miller will be on Friday as we've got Golden Nugget information. If you've missed it, they've made some tweaks to the format in the contest this year, and Tony will fill us in on those. We'll talk lots of sports with him as well. That's going to do it. Meanwhile, for the Tuesday edition, I'm going to go home and I guess watch. I don't know. Am I going to watch the All-Star game? I think I'm a slight underdog to watch more than two or three innings.
I was going
to
say maybe two innings. That's what I'll
That's
probably
about
end up
it.
With. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really a night off, man. I'm not an All-Star guy. I don't watch the NHL All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game, bores me, the NFL All-Star game, or whatever they call it, the Pro Bowl.
I do have Annie Hall recorded. I might watch that for the 10th time,
bad.
The first time in about 20 years. So I'll end up with about two innings watched by the time the game's
probably
over.
Throw the Western channel on.
There you go.
Because I like old Westerns.
There you go.
All right, that's it. For Bobby Machado, Scott Spreitzer, Jeff Sherman for the Westgate Las Vegas, Paul Compton, follow him on Twitter at SportsCruncher. Did I mention Bobby Machado? I did? Well, I'll do it again because you're not here tomorrow, so that's a mention. See, that's two mentions for the price of none. And my name's Dave Koken, and we're done. So you can listen to the music the rest of the way and then stick around because Cofield & Company is coming up next right here on The Sports Leader. Enjoy your Tuesday, everybody.